You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, what you need to know is being brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. And Clinton Yates is in this week for Sedano.
What
Sedano.
Up? What's going on, guys? How are we doing?
We're good. I want to get back to these dating apps here in a second.
Sure.
But Lindsay, baseball has what we need to know. Linz?
Well, speaking of baseball, we all know that the MLB All-Star Game is going to be in town this coming weekend. And starting on Friday at the Santa Monica Pier, baseball fans can check out the Capital One All-Star Oceanfront. So normally when you have like the Super Bowls in town, whatever, like they kind of put everything all in like one central area. I love how what they're doing for the All-Star Game is they're having these little fan events in different areas of L.A. So like I said, they're going to start the All-Star Oceanfront in Santa Monica this weekend. It's going to feature casual and instructional youth baseball and softball activities directly on the beach. They're also going to have yoga classes, sand sculpture contests, batting and pitching cages, as well as a beach cleanup event. It's free of charge for fans, and there's also going to be a baseball-themed carnival, like, you know, like a little pop-up situation with all of the All-Star merchandise. So that's going to run from Friday through Sunday, and then over the also during the weekend, they're going to have a separate event at the LA Convention Center where they're going to have, you know, similar to what they did with the fan fest that we went to, Cappy, for the Super Bowl.
You mean the night where I almost broke my leg?
Exactly. The night where you tripped over one of those fake flower pots right outside the convention center.
Yeah, still hurt.
Exactly. So they're going to have something similar also downtown at the convention center. And if you need more info on all of this stuff, you can go to allstargame.com. But all these events are free. You just got to make sure you like reserve your ticket and go have fun. Go do yoga on the beach with baseball people.
Clinton, are you going to be involved in any of the festivities? Are you covering anything? Are you going to go to any of the parties? I mean, like, have you thought about the All-Star Game is coming to your town? Do you want to be a part of it? Sometimes, you know, when big events come to people's towns, they like to hide. Other times people like to, you know, jump all in and get immersed. What are you going to do?
So I was more on the hiding front for the Super Bowl. I had a friend in town who was actually a Bengals fan who I went to college with. So I went to college in Ohio. And we sort of did the Bengals side of things, but I kind of stayed away from the big stuff. This one, your boy is all in. You better believe I will be at every single thing possible. And I'm going to the stadium for the Futures game. That's going to be a big deal. A lot of guys I know that are in that. I actually know the guy that picks the teams for that, you know, just through baseball channels. So I'm really excited about that. The Home Run Derby to me is the pièce de résistance. Like, that's the jewel of the weekend, in my opinion. The All-Star Game is cool. It's more so to see people that I know around the game. But as I was saying to Beto on Friday at the park, I'm just interested to see what Dodger Stadium looks like when it's not a Dodger game, for lack of a better term. You know what I mean? It's a baseball game, but the fans are a little different at an All-Star type of a setup. You know what I mean? I'm just interested to see the activation kind of be nationalized, even if just for 1, 2, or 3 days.
Yeah, somebody just asked me the other day, they're like, are you going to go to the big party on Sunday? And maybe it's Sunday, I think it is. And I'm like, what's the big party? They're like, oh, dude, everybody who's there, all the players come flying in, and all the agents and all the people.
Yeah.
It's like the thing to do, the place to go. And I'm like, I don't know.
I mean, the biggest thing that happens, typically, there are parties. And because this is L.A., there will be something sanctioned. But, like, you got to understand also, this is a mid-season event. So it's not like, you know, it's not like all sorts of randos are going to show up to I don't know. It's hard to explain. But it's not exactly the Super Bowl. Is what I'm getting at. You know, that's not a one-for-one comparison in terms of what happens around the game.
Well, I can just tell you this. If I show up at that party on Sunday night, guess who I am? I am one of the randos.
Right. I mean, that's
me.
That's part of the situation. Also, Key's birthday party is that weekend, so I got plenty partying in me without having to do anything related to baseball to party.
The Key birthday party is the same weekend of the All-Star game?
It is, yeah.
I mean, I don't know that because, of course, you know, I'm not tight like that with Key.
It is, yeah. So that's wow. That's it's going to be a lot going on, so yeah.
Wow, I wonder if Morales is going to be like organizing that party or if he's actually just going to be an invited guest to that party.
You'd have to ask him, but I'm looking forward to seeing him for sure.
We can ask him tomorrow during Live Imaging Tuesday.
Excellent
lit.
Call.
It's lit. That's right. What you need to know is being brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. And there's a whole bunch of information for you that there are all kinds of All-Star festivities. What a great year to be a sports fan in L.A., right?
Yeah.
You get the Super Bowl in your hometown with the Rams playing in it and winning it, and now you have the Dodgers literally running away with the National League West before the All-Star break even happens, and then the All-Star game is in your hometown. What a time to be a sports fan in this community.
Very excited about this, and I love the fact that we are doing our stuff around it as well. I can't say how happy I am about this, that we got our own little thing going out in West Covina. It's going to be fun. Really looking forward to meeting a lot of listeners who couldn't make it to the Mandy's. That was a different kind of deal. This one's free. Pull on up. We'll be there. No dress code, no tickets, no nothing. Just fun and games. I love it.
Cappy, I think we should go to some of this stuff like we did with the NFL stuff.
Some content trips?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to go? Should we go on Monday? Like, should we go to the Home Run Derby?
Yeah. Oh, if we can get tickets to that, heck yeah.
I mean, I haven't been to a Home Run Derby, I'm not exaggerating, since I want to say, oh God, this is really going to sound bad. I don't think I've been to a Home Run Derby since the McGuire, Sosa, Boston, Fenway, Ted Williams, Tony Gwynn, like that whole thing that happened. This is 1999.
I was going to say, that's 98, 99.
Yeah. I mean, I was just coming off my honeymoon. We all know what's happened since then. I literally came back from my honeymoon and went right to Boston for that All-Star game. And I honestly, I don't think I've been to another Home Run Derby since. Maybe the one in San Diego I went to a couple years ago. But Monday, you want to go to the Home Run Derby, Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, we got to try and get, let's try and go to that. And then also some of the other, you know, like the, like we were mentioning the ball, there's stuff going on outside the ballpark, all the fan stuff where, you know how we did like the take your picture in front of the player's shoulder pads? You know, they have all that cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you guys are planning on actually getting into the stadium on Monday for the Derby, you better get on that now.
Oh, they still have a ton of tickets for sale for it.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah. I was just on the website.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, how much do they cost?
You know, I'm not sure about that, but I'm sure, you know, me and Cappy can figure something out and, you know.
All right.
We'll figure it out, Cappy.
I would have assumed that would have been well sold out.
I would, you would think so.
Because it's an extremely popular event.
Right. And that's what I thought. But I will say when I was, the last time I covered baseball was when the All-Star game was in Cleveland. And I was still like, you know, I wasn't like covering it like there every day like I used to be. But I thought as like a fan from a fan perspective, I thought that like being there in person, the Home Run Derby was probably like the least exciting thing to see on person. Like I thought it was cooler to watch on TV.
Are you kidding me? At the Cleveland one, the one where Vladdy Jr. hit 45 bombs and didn't even win?
That part of it, yes. But I'm just saying like
the
atmosphere was very just like, ah, we're here, like, ah, whatever. Like, I didn't see, like, the competitive, like, vibe around it, you know?
I think that's a little, I was at that, and that's the best Home Run Derby I've ever been to.
It was, like, the Home Run Derby itself, yes, but I'm saying, like, the vibe from, like, a fan standpoint, I don't know.
Listen, I mean, I did see this also earlier, that there are tickets available for the Home Run Derby.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was also surprised. I like you, Clinton, I thought, okay, well, this has got to be an event that's probably been up for sale for, you know, well over a year, or the day that they announced that the Home Run Derby and the All-Star festivities are coming to L.A., I assumed that everything would be on sale, and I long assumed that everything would have been sold out. But I also saw an ad today that said, you know, you can buy your tickets for the Home Run Derby.
Give it a rip. Right. Give it a rip. It's fun.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm not buying tickets to anything. I mean, come on. This is an event.
Cappy, we can talk about the logistics of it later.
I mean, but
isn't
the event on ESPN?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We can figure out, you know, whatever, you know. I know, like, credentials probably needed to be submitted a while ago. And, in fact, my dad, I was talking to him this week, and he's like, are you doing any, like, the All-Star stuff? Because I know you always, like, cover the All-Star in baseball. And I was just like, you know, it snuck up on me so quickly this year that I didn't even, like, think to ask about it. I kind of forgot it was here.
So, clearly, since I'm the only credentialed media member of this station going to the function, I shall serve as correspondent for said event for a couple of things. I think you guys should still try to go. But I'm definitely going to be there with a seat with my name on it. So
on Monday of next week, 1 week from today, when the Home Run Derby is getting ready, you'll be in Dodger Stadium, correct?
I'll be in Dodger Stadium. I'm actually hosting Allen and Sliwa that morning. So I can do that show, and I'll be heading to the ballpark, and I can check in from the ballpark.
Okay, because we're only going to be on the air from 4 to 5, and then we're actually going to hand off to ESPN Radio.
Oh,
and we're gonna,
excellent,
and,
yeah. I'll call
and
you.
I have volunteered, just so you know, Clint, I have volunteered with ESPN Radio to call the Home Run Derby. Because I miss Chris Berman saying, back. He just hit that one all the way to the Santa Monica Pier. Back. He just hit that one all the way to San Diego. Back. So I'm in on calling the Home Run Derby, even though I don't really think I'd be good at it. I just want to do a Chris Berman. That's all.
That's nothing wrong with that, dude.
By the way, Cap, the tickets. So I just double checked. And if you go to, as I mentioned when we were talking about.
Don't give away your sources. Just say the price.
No. I'm just saying, if you go to MLB.com/allstar, then you can find, you can buy tickets there. There's plenty of seats. I'm looking at the chart now. And this is face value, remember. The prices range from like $300 to like $700. So that's not bad for an all-star an all-star event. Yeah.
That is shockingly low to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
I would never pay $300 to go to a home run derby.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what it takes to get in.
I know. I mean, I'm way too cheap, number one. And I'd much rather watch it on TV. But I mean, seriously.
You're Scott Kaplan. I'm sure we could probably work something out, Kaplan.
Dude, if I walk up with my picture of my three Mandys, the naked picture that I
took. Oh, that's better than a credential. You have full access.
Did you hear about this, Clinton?
I did hear about this, and I saw it too.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good.
I listen to the station. I know what's going on.
I'm glad you do.
I try.
I'm glad you do in a big way. Hey, coming back, I do want to get back to what you were talking about, which is the dating apps.
Correct.
And your desire to get on them now that you're newly single.
Okay, let's not overstate what is going on here. My willingness to get on them to entertain our listeners. That's where we are.
I'm actually looking for some suggestions on what are the best ones.
Yeah.
Like, isn't there one like called Farmers Only?
Bro, come on. What are we doing? All right, I'm not going to embarrass myself.
Well, no, but you sometimes
There's a code of conduct for the president of the local chapter of the Handsome Man community. If you did not read your bylaws
and
the guidelines that went out last week, maybe you should refresh them.
Well, how would you consider J-Date? Could I get you onto J-Date?
Again, I'm willing to do almost anything that doesn't destroy my reputation in good fun.
Okay.
So wait, you have no desire whatsoever to actually find a date. You just want to like go on it and talk about it on the
show. I mean, I'm not up here trying to be like that. If I wanted to find a date, I could find a date. I'm just saying that, like, depending on how entertaining this is, it depends on how long I continue to entertain it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's
fair
how
enough.
That goes.
Okay. All right. Which dating site should Clinton Yates jump onto? If anybody's got any great suggestions because you've been on and you've had success, you should definitely let us know. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. I hope I got the right number. Because it's hard with the ESPN part of it. You know, you're like looking for the letters, the whole deal. We'll grab a couple of these calls. We're going to make some suggestions to Clinton. And I got to run something by you guys because I'm always complaining that I don't have any series to watch. And I finally started a series last night. I want to get you guys' opinion on that. Stick around. This is Shidano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's going on, community? It's Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. Make sure you're joining our community, the Circle of Trust on Twitter. For those of you guys that have a hard time finding the community, just keep on coming back. We continue to try and show you how to do it. Clinton, do you have any suggestions for anybody who's having a hard time finding the community on Twitter?
I'm not going to lie. This is actually a little bit more difficult than I realized. When I was trying to show the consigliere, Julian, how to get in, he was poking around for it and couldn't find it until I invited him. So I don't have many suggestions for this, Laura, on how this works.
So it's been rough because I've posted. Many people have done it. So there was like a back way where you joined. There was a sponsor community for Stranger Things. If you join that, it automatically gave you the tab for the communities. So there's that hack.
Yeah.
There's an invite hack, but you can't invite everybody.
No, and I'm not inviting anybody I don't know. So
No, but I mean, like, there's people that have, like, hey, I've been trying for months since you guys created this community, and I can't get in. Can you invite me? So when we go, it says we are not able to invite.
I have an idea. which is that everybody who shows up on Friday, we should find a way to make sure that they get into the community on Twitter.
You know what? That's a great
sort
idea.
Sort of a social media, sort of a... I don't even know what the word is.
Like a meetup.
A meetup. Yeah, but also like a bit of a... I don't even know, like a course. You know what I'm saying? Like where we just tell people...
Social media 101 for joining the community.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so somebody can be there at a tent and say, hey, you want to sign up for the community? Come on over here. We'll get your information, you know?
Yeah. Clinton, I'm really excited about this Friday. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. I don't know about the Wiffle Ball Home Run Derby. You feel confident in that arena?
You know, so we talked earlier about how we might need some extra bodies for the sake of our game, perhaps holding a supplemental draft to make sure that we have enough people should somebody get hurt or get tired or whatever it may be. I think the Wiffle Ball Tournament Home Run Derby might be a substitute for the supplemental draft. That might be a nice way to tie in listeners. Say, hey, listen, you might not get to play, but if you hang around, somebody goes down as a participant or winner, you can step in. Now, that changes the jersey issue, but at that point, who cares? You know what I'm saying? Like, we will have gone through a day of broadcast. They'll have participated. It's a little extra bonus maybe to even win. You know what I'm saying? I think that might be some way to do this. I don't run these things, but I've been around a lot of these situations. That seems like it's doable.
Okay. All right. Well, the wiffle ball thing, you know, it's kind of like when hitters are asked, hey, are you going to do the home run derby this year? And they're like, oh, no, I don't want to do the home run derby. It's going to screw up my swing. It's going to be exhausting. It's going to take me 2 weeks to recover. I'm worried that the wiffle ball home run derby could screw up my whole softball game thing. You know,
are you doing the wiffle ball? I thought that was just for listeners.
I'd like to get in on it.
Okay. I mean, really. No, then in that case, I think because you are technically the captain of the team, you should do it. Like, I don't think we should have everybody out there doing it just for the sake of, like, timing. It's only an hour, you know?
Yeah. I may switch hit in this softball game, just so you know, Clinton.
Okay. All right.
Depending on where I'm, you know, if these guys pull a shift on me because I'm a left-handed hitter and they got everybody over on the right side of the infield, I may just flip the whole switch and go bat righty.
All I'm going to say is make sure to be ready to perform at like 6:30 because that's when warm-ups start, even though the game's at 7.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to have a full 10 to 15 minute stretch sesh and then a couple 10, 15 more minutes with the throwing so that nobody's all out of, you know what I mean? Like we're gonna do it right.
Okay. I've gone into my my closet here to find my baseball gloves.
Sure.
And
what do you have?
I've got them. I mean, I've got all the gloves.
Yeah,
I've got them.
Bring them all.
Yeah, I must have like 3 or 4 gloves.
Good.
You know, and I got to figure out which is the glove to use here.
Because you're going to also want to warm up with the softball. I'm sure you probably haven't gotten a grip on something that, well, I don't want to sound awkward here, but you haven't gotten a grip on something that large in a long time in terms of what you're playing with. Wow, this is not getting better. you know, just acclimate yourself. You know, that's pretty much the deal.
Hey, Clinton, before I get, I want to get back to these dating apps, but
sure.
I just want to tell you guys. So everybody's always giving me a hard time because I didn't finish Ted Lasso, and I don't subscribe to many, like, you know, different shows and series, streaming series. I don't watch that much stuff. And everybody's talking about Stranger Things. Laura mentioned it earlier, you know? I ordered a pizza from Domino's like 2 weeks ago. The box was just all over Stranger Things. I don't watch Stranger Things. Have you watched Stranger Things?
No, I've not watched Stranger Things, but I have been through to that drive-through experience thing that they did during the pandemic.
Good?
It was awesome. Ooh. Like, I barely understand the story about Stranger Things, but this thing was one of the best productions I've ever seen. Scott, I can actually tell you about that later.
Wasn't I supposed to go with you to that?
Yes, and I ended up going with somebody else, another friend of mine.
And you said it was amazing.
It was a blast. Like, it was really cool, but that's another story.
Okay, so I'm not in on Stranger Things. Clinton isn't, although he went on some experience.
Partially in.
Laura, are you in on Stranger Things?
I haven't seen the new season, but I was caught up in all of them. But it took forever to do this one that I feel like I got to go back. So I don't got time for that.
Right. Okay,
so
and we'll Linz? See. Linz,
yes.
Stranger Things?
Yes. I watched it. I actually watched it like 4 times last week, the finale, because I was concussed for a few days and I didn't know what happened until I watched it like 4 times. But that's another story. But I thought it was great. And like they totally lost me last season. And then I got back on board with this season, and I highly recommend it. I don't know if you'd like it, Cap, but...
Okay, that's a very important thing you just said. I've heard from many of my friends who watch Stranger Things, dude, you won't like it.
I feel like it's like a little... Don't take this the wrong way, but it might be a little like it might be a little deep for you. It might be a little much for you. And not
really?
To say the show itself is deep, but I feel like you would get lost and be like, this is it. This is too weird.
Okay,
you know?
So I have a... Clinton, I have a bit of a short attention span,
as you may have noticed. Exactly.
So a friend of mine who watches Stranger Things told me, This is not a good show for you. You won't like it. He goes, just trust me. I know you. You won't like the show. Okay, fine. So he tells me, he goes, but I have a show for you. I said, you do? He said, yeah. He goes, and the best part about it is it's only 4 episodes. And it's a docudrama, if you will. So last night I started this series. I'm 1 episode into 4. Has anyone heard of this wacky series on Netflix called Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey? Has anybody heard of this?
Absolutely not.
Yes. No. I watch every documentary ever known to mankind.
This sounds like something that does not involve a lot of my people.
Oh, no. This is for you to laugh at your non-people.
Okay.
Okay. this is a
I'm
bunch
already
of,
laughing.
Yeah. This is one of the most, I'm 1 episode in. And like a 19-year-old girl is marrying like the 85-year-old prophet of the fundamentalists.
The Mormons.
Oh, dear.
So it's about Warren Jeffs, like the Mormon creeper who basically made polygamy a thing again.
Okay, well, so I won't be laughing at this.
It's ridiculous. It's serious. Yeah. It's very scandalous. It's very like depressing. There's been a lot of documentaries on this topic, and I thought this one was like, it wasn't all that interesting, so I'm surprised that you like it that much, Cap, because I feel like there's better ones about it. But
I'm only 1 episode in, and I'm told, hey, get ready, because you haven't seen anything yet. If you think an 85-year-old guy marrying a 19-year-old girl for his, like, 50th wife, if you think that's weird, you haven't even scratched the surface yet.
Yeah, if you know nothing about that whole scandal and situation, then it's definitely pretty crazy. But I don't even know what to say about it, Cap. It's a weird one. It's odd, and it's sad. Very sad.
I'm going to be watching. I am. But now let's not talk about something sad. Let's talk about something exciting. Clinton Yates is about to go on the dating sites. Which one should he go on?
Okay.
What's he going to do? Let's hear this.
So my understanding is this. My understanding is that either Bumble or Hinge, the way the setup works is you don't actually see, as a man, as a cisgendered, straight, heterosexual male, I do not see the other potential partners. They see me, and until they pick me, I am not otherwise informed of their interest. Is that correct?
Bumble, yes. Hinge, I did Hinge years ago, and I don't remember that's how it worked, but I know for Bumble, it's like, depending on when you click, because you can pick just friends, by the way, on Bumble. There's like a friends tab where you don't need to do the dating tab. It could be like a networking thing.
This is news to me. I bet you a lot of people try to act like they're trying to be friends and screw that up.
That's
another story.
Yeah, but there is like a friends or networking meetup type of thing on Bumble, so you don't have to go directly to the dating site of the section. But yeah, so like the girl kind of has more of the quote unquote power there than the guy does.
Understandable. So that's Hinge or that's
Bumble.
That's
Bumble.
Bumble.
Right, let me just understand this, Clinton. Yeah. Bumble is you're a guy, you put your profile or whatever on their app, and you can't go reach a lady. She has to come reach you. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, she has to initiate the conversation.
Okay, that's Bumble. Okay, what else are we looking at here?
I think the other one. Okay, so what's the difference between Bumble and Hinge?
Well, Hinge, you have to like fill out a freaking novel.
Oh no!
And it's one of those things where they'll be like tell 2 truths and a lie or something like it. But it's like they ask you a lot of questions, and to me, I was after like the first like 3 prompts, I was like, nope, I'm done.
Yep, that's automatically
way too much work.
So okay. I literally went to Google.
Yeah.
And it just said, what is better, Bumble or Hinge?
Okay.
And it says Bumble is slightly more superficial and and has an incognito mode, which women like for privacy. And men like it because the girl is initiating. Hinge has a better prompts and allows men to send the first message first, which is more adventure.
I don't need that. Yeah, that's not necessary. Now,
what about Tinder?
Well, this is what I was going to ask you. Now, what it was
that's
Tinder
straight hookup?
Okay.
Not necessarily.
I've never done it, so I shouldn't judge. But straight hookup.
I think that's what everyone assumes, but I think it's evolved into more than that. Because I actually know like 3 people. Most people I like my age, our age nowadays, I feel like meet on dating apps. I like my roommate's best friend is getting married in a few weeks. She met him on Tinder. My sister met her husband on Tinder. Like, I know a lot of people who've had relationships on Tinder. So
okay,
I don't think that's the same.
Ohio Tinder and LA Tinder.
Well,
not
I'm talking about
thing.
I'm again my roommate's best friend.
I'm messing with you.
I don't disagree with you on that, but I'm just saying in general, I think like the app itself started off as like everyone's just like, oh, that's just for hookup or whatever. Well, but I feel like it's more
like
Grindr. Let me ask you this. I think Tinder, Scott, has the highest potential for comedy amongst the sort of regular ones. Now, Raya, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. So can you describe that, Lindsay?
So it's like an invite only. You need to know somebody who has like an invitation to it. And you have to be like, quote unquote, it's for like more famous, like, you know, famous, prestigious. It's like a private club, you know, like people have their private social clubs.
Yeah, I don't really understand this whole famous dating app thing. I have a buddy of mine who's a CEO of a company. And I wouldn't call him famous, but he's
loaded.
He's the CEO of a very big company.
Well, that's a whole nother market. There's like sugar daddies and rich people hookups, like whole other thing. Oh yeah,
yeah. Because and he was the CEO of a very, very big company. So this is a smaller company. But anyway, point is, he's a successful business guy, and he told me about a dating app for famous people that he somehow, I don't know how he got on. Anyway, he was on it, and he said that he was contacted. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
He was contacted by Sharon Stone.
Wow.
And I had that same reaction. Like, dude, that's unbelievable.
That's pretty high caliber.
You mean tell me that Sharon Stone is on a dating app looking for CEOs like yourself?
Wow.
But was it really Sharon Stone? Did he actually meet Sharon Stone?
Answer is don't think so and don't know. Meaning, I don't know if it was really her.
I'm pretty sure it was, because I believe she talked about this in an interview once about how she's like in the streets
to
very little success.
Yeah, they're definitely on it. I know, like, there was a story a couple months ago about like this girl who matched with Ben Affleck on it, and something happened. It was like a TikTok that went viral because she matched with Ben Affleck. She didn't believe it was actually him, and then found out after the fact that he, like, similarly mentioned in an interview or something how he had tried the dating. Like, I was on Ryan, it didn't work out, blah, 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 blah. And so then she posted something on TikTok like, oh my God, that actually was Ben Affleck. I'm so regretting this now.
I don't need to meet, like, as much as I said before that the comedy of meeting ridiculous, superficial people is actually part of the bit here, I actually just realized that I don't have time for that crap. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll deal with regular human beings.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Really?
That are not
your friends introduce you to somebody? Really?
No, I mean, I don't mind being on the apps. I just don't need to be on an app specifically for people that are already full of themselves.
Just do Bumble. That's what I was saying.
All right, so you got Bumble,
Hinge, Tinder.
Hinge is a lot of work, though.
Okay, Bumble, Tinder. We're going to knock out Hinge.
Tinder. Just do Tinder because...
Okay, hold on. We got options here.
Wait, is POF still like a thing?
What's
POF?
I don't know the answer to that.
I have no idea what that
Plenty
is.
Of Fish.
Oh,
that's a good
I think
question.
That's an older.
I thought it was Point of View.
Yeah, that was like OK Cupid, Plenty of Fish. Like
my I'd mom
like
to, was back in
the day. I'd like to give a shout out to Carlos, the vice president of the local chapter of the Handsome Man community, who says that Match.com did him well back in the day. So,
really?
That's old,
yeah.
Too. Or apparently. eHarmony. Those are like
those are ancient.
But
yeah.
Those ones actually like.
Those are for real people looking for real
connections. They do very long, like, tutorial, like, questions where they ask you all about, like, your religious beliefs and your philosophical beliefs.
Okay,
yeah.
Tutorial, by the way, was the word I was looking for when I was trying to explain how people should get into the community.
Oh, the 101 thing,
yes,
yeah.
Anyway. So we'll see. You mentioned J-Date. That seems a little too serious for me, Scott. You know what I mean? I get why
a nice
that's
funny. Jewish girl?
I was going to say, are you not Jewish?
No, but my point
is, knew.
From what I understand, that feels like that would be on the longer, you know, the sort of like longer information side of the app game. No?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Why don't people
it?
Just tweet you like the suggestions?
Yeah, it's a good idea. Hit me. Or, you know, we can go to
the community.
Let's do that in the community. I don't need that filling up my personal, but any good stories. I don't need horror stories. I'm not the kind of person that looks at the horror stories and then decides what I'm going to stay away from. I'm the kind of person that looks at the good results and picks from there. That's all I got.
All right, listen, if you, community, have suggestions for Clinton Yates as to what dating app he should use.
Oh, my God. ESPN Los Angeles already has a whole graphic about this. Good God.
All right, stick around. Big Deal or No Deal is next on Shedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, no Sedano this week. Sedano's in Vegas for Summer League.
Hobnobbing with the governor of the Lakers.
Well, that is what he told us earlier.
Yeah. Maybe not hobnobbing. But...
Maybe more like introducing himself.
Kind of I wonder if he brought his own snacks.
Well, he did say he bought some snacks down in the lobby of the hotel. It is time right now for Big Deal or No Deal on Sedano and Cap. And here is Lindsay Baseball.
All right, so you would probably have to be living under a rock this weekend if you did not hear about Zach Wilson making headlines. It's July. They're not about football. So the New York Jets quarterback has been at the center of a salacious social media maelstrom. I didn't even know what I wrote there. For the past 24 hours after his former girlfriend accused him of cheating on her. But the details are a little bit, they're juicy, right?
Yes.
So Washington Commanders receiver Dax Milne, who was previously Zach Wilson's best friend when they played together at BYU.
Roommate.
Yes. He posted a couple of romantic pictures embracing Zach Wilson's ex-girlfriend, Abby. They were on the beach, and he wrote something like, word is out there, whatever. Like, basically indicating that this is now his girlfriend, right? So then people on Instagram then accused Abby of homie hopping, or for the older people out there, maybe even you, Cap, dating her ex-boyfriend's best friend.
So wait, that's called that. That is a phrase.
That's a regional dialect. But yes, there are various forms of that word.
Yeah. So when you're a woman and you date a guy and then you break up and then you go date the guy's friend, mm-hmm. that's called homie hopping.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Some parts of America they call it that. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the reaction from a lot of people on social media was, a lot of crazy memes. Whatever. There's a lot going on there. But then. In response to that, the ex-girlfriend, Abby, wrote, well, he was sleeping with his mom's best friend, so he's the real homie hopper, meaning Zach Wilson, right? Everyone went nuts, and now everyone, there's memes everywhere with, Stifler's mom and,
Stifler's mom.
Oh, yeah, eye-winking jokes with, he's a cougar, all that kind of stuff.
She's a cougar.
Very, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He's not the cougar, right?
Well, he is a cougar because he went to BYU. That's the joke.
Right, exactly.
Oh.
He wrote, there was a post from, a year ago, 2 years ago, where it was just, go Cougars in all caps, and everyone was just kind of posting that, laughing about it.
Okay, so.
So is it a big deal or no deal?
This is a huge deal. And it's a big deal because there's so much at play here, Scott. All right, number one, homie hopping, whatever. That is the thing of least judgment in this scenario for me. However, the move that is certainly going to spark the biggest actual life problems for both of these guys, or never mind her. Dating your mom's best friend. I mean, you know what that says to me, Scott? That says, I know I'm going top five in the NFL draft, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. That's what that says. Now, exposing that as the ex for no real reason other than to clap back at the fact that you're dating his current friend or his former friend, that to me is where this turns extremely dicey because, hello, we're talking about BYU. We're 80% of the seniors are married by the time that they leave because of what happens from a cultural standpoint at the school. That part, revealing that part, has reverberations around that community that I got to imagine are going to be very difficult to deal with for the next 3 years.
So let me get this straight.
Huge deal.
So this dude is he was with this girl. She homie hopped over to his best friend, his college roommate.
Mm-hmm.
And then she aired him out by saying, I'm not a homie hopper. This is a guy who is dating or more with his mom's best friend.
Exactly.
Which is, I mean, to me, that's, objection, Your Honor, inadmissible and or irrelevant. You know what I'm
Completely
saying?
Completely irrelevant, especially in 2022.
The matter at hand.
Let the man live.
But, it's the question becomes, was he potentially doing that whilst he was with her, hence leading her to do what she did? Who knows? This is all very messy, and it's all very... let's just say reality show style. But if I'm the team, if I'm the Jets, I'm like, hey, Zach, why don't you get in here and explain to us exactly what happened so we know what we're dealing with going forward?
Wow, this is a very, very complicated story. Young man, superstar college quarterback, becomes top draft pick of the New York Jets. He's not playing in Cleveland or Cincinnati. This is New York.
Correct.
They're going to love something like this, and they're going to pounce all over it. Then you got the best friend who you were roommates with, who's now with your ex-girlfriend, but all the while, the ex-girlfriend is airing you out for dating your mom's best friend. This is a very complicated love square.
It's not a love triangle. Yeah.
This is a love square right here.
Do the Jets and the Commanders see each other this season on the football field is an important question.
Good question.
I do not have their schedules at hand, nor off the top of my head do I know. But if so, that suddenly becomes a monster game if Zach Wilson's former teammate is still even on the team, because he's kind of a marginal wide receiver. It's possible that he's not even involved by the time they get to each other.
They're not playing. I'm looking at the Jets schedule right now.
They're not facing off in the Super Bowl this year.
No, it doesn't look that way. You know, this is it just reminds me, though, of like weird stories of young guys with much, much, much older women. And by the way, it happens all the time, right? Older dude with much younger girl, but younger guy with much older woman. We all, for some reason, kind of think differently. I had a buddy of mine, Clinton.
Yes.
True story. 16 years old. His dad started dating his personal assistant.
Oh, great start.
The personal assistant was babysitting the kid, like staying in the house for the weekend while the parents were out of town or whatever. And 16-year-old boy winds up with girlfriend, who, by the way, is now stepmom 30 years later. So
what?
Yeah. So he was 16. She was probably like 30. They had a little thing while she was dating his dad.
Oy.
And then she wound up marrying the dad.
I can't do that. That doesn't work for me.
But these are like juicy, salacious, bizarre stories.
Yeah, but that's how do I say this? That's crossing streams in a way that I don't necessarily like. The reason why this is interesting to me is because at this point, if you're Zach, like, were you lying to your mom? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, in fact, the most interesting part about all of this to me, Lindsay.
Yeah, so this originally was a Radio Tinder question that we didn't have time for, and I was going to ask you guys, would you be okay with your child dating your best friend? Because, Cap, like, what would you do?
I don't have any kids, so I can recuse myself from this.
Cap, let's say you have you or Rachel have, like, a lady friend that you guys hang out with. Would you be okay with your son dating her?
No.
Right.
No.
That's just too weird.
Dude, my 22-year-old son.
That's nasty.
And my 50-year-old female friend dating each other? I don't think so.
Yeah, that doesn't sit right for me. I don't like that.
I'm
not judging
that. The other way around either. Like, if my 50-year-old buddy wanted to date my 20-year-old daughter, I'd be like, no. Hands off.
And it's not a judgment thing. That's just not how I run my program. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't want to be around the dynamics of that. Forget about the judgment of who's
imagine,
doing what.
You imagine me and Rachel saying, hey, Justin, that's my son's name. He's 22. Hey,
I've
Justin.
Met him. Yeah.
Yeah, do you and, I don't know, Suzanne?
Want a double date?
You guys want a double date tonight? My son would be like, yeah, Dad, are you buying dinner?
Who's picking up the tab?
Right.
Exactly.
I'm curious to know if, like,
oh, my God, that's weird.
If Zach Wilson's mom is, like, cool with it.
Well,
you know?
my thing, is, and the reason I brought up the Mormon element is because, you know, not to get too far into this.
Polygamy.
And the repression element, there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on in places where people can't talk about things out loud. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying this is probably normal, but like, I don't necessarily know how wrong everybody involved thinks this is, and I might be one of those people included. It's just really awkward thing to come up in the middle of the summer.
Yep. All right. Well, way to go, Zach. You gave us quite a story to talk about here. All right, Lynch.
Yeah, let me get another one in here really quick. Okay, so Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, obviously they've been in contract extension talks for basically the past 2 years, and if they don't reach an extension, he's going to become a free agent after this coming season. There's a lot of work being done on both sides, but over the weekend, Jackson appeared to make his contract demands very clear because he changed his profile picture on Instagram to a famous scene from How High that is about needing money. Like, I need money. I couldn't play it because there's too much profanity going on in there, and then even in a song in the background. But Jackson is now claiming that he did not make the change in regard to his extension. He posted a GIF from How High on Twitter and then coupled it with a cryptic caption. And then afterwards, he told USA Today, I'm not putting my business life on social media. I would never do that. I won't put my personal life on social media. I show stuff, but I won't throw subliminals out. That's not me. Okay, well, what could a quarterback who's in the middle of a contract extension situation possibly be changing his profile picture to I need $ possibly mean other than like wanting to get paid? So is this whole Lamar Jackson weird social media situation a big deal or no deal? Clinton.
It's a big deal for a couple of different reasons. Number one, can we take some time to to show reverence to the great Black American film that is How High, starring Redman and Method Man, which is hilarious. It's about two stoners who go to college and they're trying to figure it out. And the character who plays I Need Money, which is the name of a character, not just the scene, does not talk, Scott. All he does is indicate he needs money. And if he gets money, then he'll proceed with his activity. Number one, that is tremendous out of Lamar. Number two, I don't think Lamar Jackson knows what subliminals are. Because this is neither a subliminal, it is a direct indication of what's going on. And furthermore, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't understand why he's running away from this. This is funny. It's topical. Sure, it makes sense. It's what you're actually doing. This is weird to me on a lot of levels why he's apologizing for this on for any reason at all, Scott.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is no deal. I mean, I just don't see this as being a really big deal. I know everybody likes to make a whole big stink when a player changes their avatar or their profile and they're clearly sending a message. I mean, you know, Kyler Murray, same deal, like earlier in the year, remember? Like everybody's talking about, oh, he took off the Arizona Cardinals. Listen, are guys trying to send messages? I presume so. But, like, I just looked up Lamar Jackson on Twitter and I realized I wasn't following him. And then I followed him, and I guess I'm able to somehow, like, DM him. So I just DM'd him and asked him to come on the show, and we'll talk it out.
You would, Cap.
All right.
I just slid right into his DMs.
Nice.
Oh, you're too funny, nice. Cap.
But, yeah, I mean, like, nothing wrong with that. How High is hilarious. Great soundtrack, too.
I got to see how high.
You, I mean, it's, you know what, Scott? I actually think you would think it was funny. There's a certain element of the comedy that I think you would enjoy just in terms of the characters Redman and Method Man play. It's really good. Like, it holds up. It holds up better than a lot of movies from that era that are about randos smoking weed all the time. I'll tell you what.
Hey, Linz, can we get one more in or we pass the
I
break?
I think we got a break.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right, Monday evening now on Sedano and Cap. Clinton Yates is in all week long.
What up?
Really excited that you're here. This is the timing could not have been better, Clinton.
I know.
For you to be here this week.
It's great. Everything is lining up nicely. Want to give a quick update on some things. Probably going to be hitting the batting cage tomorrow or the next day, Scott, just so you know. Get a couple swings in. Nothing crazy. Just remind myself of the batter's box.
All right. Well, I have a question about that. First of all, are you a lefty or a righty?
I bat right and I throw right.
Okay. In softball, unlike in baseball, you know, you got to wait it out. You know, the timing is a whole different deal. You know, the ball goes up in the air. This is slow pitch softball. Up in the air, comes back down.
It's
you got to really wait.
Different bat path, different all that, yeah.
So are you taking BP on a softball machine?
So this is what I was trying to figure out. I mean, I'm not – there are those. The place I planned on going that's kind of most convenient isn't that. I was just going to take them on the sort of the slower, you know, the slowest pitch just so I could get back to the reps more than anything, because the bottom line is that swinging takes, in fact, quite a bit of energy. And I just want to, so for example, yesterday I was throwing with Julian. I was just making sure I could get down my, like, I can throw the ball accurately. I can throw it all day if I manage my energy. And I was just trying to figure out, like, what is it going to take for me to be able to get through this? You know what I'm saying? If I'm playing shortstop and I got to make a bunch of throws, I just want to know what I can do so that I'm not absolutely dead at the end and how hard of a percentage I can go. So I'm going to get out there in the next couple of days and figure out what is the swing feeling like, what is it looking like, and how does that mean in terms of what I'm going to try to do with the plate.
When you look at our team, Clinton, how many people do you think on our team will go the extra mile and on their own either go to a batting cage, dust off their glove? I know you took Greg Bergman to buy a glove last week.
Sure.
And how many people on our team will actually go out and practice? Just throw the ball around, swing the bat. What do you think?
I think Bergman will. I think if invited, Emily will. I think Jorge probably will, just because he's the kind of guy that likes to get after it.
Home. His brother's a really good baseball player.
Right. And so, like, he knows what he's doing. So there's that. Sliwa, I don't know. I was hosting Alan and Sleewa the other day. Alan and Sleewa. I keep calling
him
the show.
I know
that,
you
like
call
him
Alan and Sleewa, and I never correct you on it because I just think it's so cute.
My bad. I actually think, and this is no knock to Slee, but Slee's just not a big baseball guy. I actually think Slee is perhaps the weakest link on our team. So
oh, wow.
I'm not sure what he's going to bring to the table, and I want to make sure that he's up to speed so that he doesn't get hurt or try to do something that he shouldn't do. So I just mean in terms of effort. So we'll see. You know what I mean? But I'm not worried about it. I think we can gather this all together over the next couple of days and really put a fun effort out there for everybody who shows up to see.
Clinton, what is your opinion? I'm of the opinion that we should all week long interview players on our squad.
Yes.
For example, Kurt Sandoval is on our squad. Now, do you know Kurt at all?
I don't know Kurt. I know who Kurt is. I am not his – like, I don't know him, like, personally.
Okay. So I've only met Kurt a couple of times, and we did spend quite a nice afternoon together at the Rams Draft House.
Okay.
But I would like to find out from Kurt, you know, just a little bit more about what he thinks he can bring to the table.
Sure.
What sort of value he adds so that you can then hear what he has to say
and
then really determine where he belongs on the field.
Yeah, I think that works. And it also determines where what other people do that are not just on-field things. This is one of the fun things about running a baseball team. Somebody's got to be on the snacks. Somebody's got to be on the warm-up balls. Somebody's got to be keeping the book or whatever. Not that we're going to do all that necessarily. But, you know, there's a lot of fun things you can do as being a part of a team that aren't just batting and fielding.
I would like to bring on as a guest this week because I don't know her that well either because, you know, she's working early, I'm working later,
right.
We don't cross paths very often. I would like to bring Emily, the producer of Travis and Sleewa, onto the show this week. Same thought process, Clinton. What is she? What kind of experience does she have? What does she think about her game? Where does she think she can add the most value? Does she swing? Can she hit?
Yeah.
Is she going to practice? I would like to bring Emily on this week.
I think we can arrange that.
Okay.
I think we can arrange that. And we know we can do them quickly. We don't have to have full 8-minute segs with each person. We can do 2-in-1. You know what I mean? A quickie. Just so one segment has two people. And then you do 2 of those a day and we got 6 people.
Cap, I have to know, since I was out when these teams were announced,
mm-hmm.
Are you disappointed at all that I'm not on your team? Because I was. Like, I contemplated protesting. I'm not playing unless I'm on Team Cappy.
Wow. Well, you know, you're not alone, Lindsay. There were a lot of people that did try and abandon ship on Team Mace. You know, like Beto Duran, I believe, immediately jumped right out into social media and said, I'm not playing on Team Mason.
I mean, I feel like the natural thing would have, like, me and Beto with you, you know, since Laura's not playing, Sedano's not playing, then that, like, those that we're, like, the only other... And maybe even Clinton, because I feel like Clinton probably fills in the most.
We're a little late in the game to be complaining about rosters.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying okay. Since I will reiterate, since I was not here last week when the teams were announced, Clinton, just making a point. I just wanted to know what Cap feels about it because we haven't talked about it.
Well,
you know?
I feel like if you look at our squad, we've got Bergman from Mason and Ireland.
Yeah,
we've
there was like a switch off. Like,
right, yeah, there was a
like
design.
Since Cap got Greg and they wanted to, because I asked, right? Because I'm like, first of all, I ain't on a roster. And then I asked and they're like, well, we did it because they wanted to separate like you and Cap and Mason
right.
and Greg. And like, you know, like that's how the thought process was. Because we talked about it with the boss, like when we went to lunch. So that was our thought process of like, okay, if I have the producer of this show, then I have to put him on the other side. And they didn't want like our shows to be together.
Well, they didn't want it to be us against them. They wanted it to be
well, they
like,
sure did after the Mandy's happened.
Well, but that's why I think that I do believe, without having spoken to anybody in management about this, that the 6-5-0 score after the Mandy's could create like internal conflict amongst the shows. So I think that in this case, by bringing Bergman and Briones over to our team, and then by infusing Emily into our team, and giving us and separating.
She's good, though. Like, she's good. She
Emily
plays
water polo in
water
college,
polo.
Which is underwater wrestling.
Yeah,
which is what that is.
She's
yeah.
dope. And I can text her to see if she like is down to come on.
Also, as we speak, I'm currently coordinating a cage session with one Beto Duran. He says that the batting cages in Torrance have a slow pitch machine. So for those
nice.
Of you who aren't wanting to get out there and go for the fastballs, this is something that's doable.
Dude, Boomers and Upland, I used to love going to the batting cages
yeah?
there. Yeah.
Okay.
That was dope. Yep.
Okay. All right. So listen, we've got Bergman, Briones, we've got Emily, we have Alan Sleewa. So they've divided Travis and Slee. They've moved the Travis and Slee producer over to our side. They moved Lindsay baseball over to the Team May side, which, Lindsay, I would have loved to have been on the same team. But my question is this. Do you think that there's conflict between you and Mason where that could be disruptive on the team?
I'm just going to say that, you know, since there's no trades allowed, they better hope that I'm not, you know, going to throw the game or anything for Team Cappy.
Ooh.
Just saying.
You hear that, Clinton?
Wow. That's not the kind of attitude we want here. We're trying to foster a community of love.
Okay, if we're trying to foster a community of love, we would have all of our shows on the same teams.
A community,
Clinton,
of competition and fair play.
I actually believe that the rosters were constructed for the opposite reason that Laura said. I feel like they want to create conflict, and that's why they are the way they are. You know,
if they wanted to create conflict, these teams would be a little bit more fair. This is going to be a beatdown.
You don't think it's fair? See, I feel like they're pretty fair. And if anything, I feel like... Like putting Travis and Ramona on the same team, I feel like that's, and even like Taylor, I feel like Taylor, but I feel like they're fair. Just going through
got
it, like
chance.
How we went through it on Crosstalk.
Got a chance for sure.
Clinton,
yes.
I'll give you player for player. You tell me who has the advantage. You
okay,
ready?
Yeah.
Player for player, Mason versus Kaplan. Who has the advantage?
Kaplan.
Okay. Duran versus Yates. Who has the advantage?
Probably Beto, to be honest.
Come on, really?
He's probably in better shape. He plays more, yeah.
Okay, DeMarco against Kirk Morrison.
Kirk by a mile.
Okay, Lindsay versus Emily.
I'm going to say Emily. She was a D1 athlete.
Okay, Michael Funchess.
You'll regret
against
that.
Mario Ruiz.
Ruiz, he's just got to be faster.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Clapper against Kurt Sandoval.
I don't know Kurt, but...
Sandoval.
I'm guessing Sandoval, yeah.
Dr. Clapper is going to bring the orange slices, okay?
Right.
That's a very underrated skill.
Quickly.
Taylor Smith versus Jorge Briones.
Taylor.
All right, listen, I can't even get through the full rosters. All I can tell you is everything seems to be pointing towards advantage team Kaplan / Yates / Shidano.
Love it.
We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow at 4, everybody. Hey, community. Phenomenal job out of you guys today. Way to be involved in today's show. Great work, Laura. Great work, Lindsay. CY, we'll see you tomorrow. We love having you. And tomorrow, 4 o'clock, everybody be here. We will be. Peace.